Turn with me to Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 10 and reading through verse 16. Remember, these are the last words that we have before the silence for 400 years. And then the coming of John, who would announce the coming of Christ. It seems to me that God is preparing our hearts for the coming of His Son. And He calls His children to task in Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altars with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her. Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Will you pray with me? Father, rather stern words, certainly pertinent to our culture today, and yet not words easily received. Would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us hearts that are in tune with yours? And when we walk through those doors and into the rest of this day and the week to come, would you show us what you want us to do about what we have just heard? Tune out the distractions, Father, and give us singleness of mind that we might hear from you and understand and be obedient, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Walter Meyer wrote a book on marriage, and in it he deplored the increasing divorce statistics of his day, complaining that if the trends of the 1930s continued, by 1950, one-fourth of all marriages made in the United States would end in divorce. And by 1990, that figure would be one in two. It was so outrageous of a question or suggestion for the 1930s that he had to go on the defensive. He argued that his prophecy was no harebrained hallucination. But today, as we look back on his words, we find that he was far too sanguine. In 1920, there was one divorce for every seven marriages. In 1940, there was one divorce for every six marriages. In 1960, there was one divorce for every four marriages. In 1972, there was one divorce for every three marriages. And by 1977, 13 years ahead of Meyer's timetable, there was one divorce for every two marriages. If you walk out that door and say, well, the preacher talked about and preached on divorce today, you will have missed what I had to say. And I think you will miss the point of what God has to say in Malachi chapter 2. Divorce was just the symptom of what was really going on in the hearts of the people. God repeatedly says, you have broken faith, you have broken faith, you have broken faith. And He calls His children to be faithful. I want to ask two questions, and the first is this. Why would He call you and me to be faithful? Because God is faithful, right? I mean, even in Malachi chapter 1, He says, I have loved you. I do love you. They didn't understand it. They asked how. But God was a faithful God. He's a covenantal God who makes a covenant and keeps His commitment to us. He promised throughout all of the Old Testament that He would send His Son to pay for our sins. Did He do what He said? He did. He is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness has become one of my favorite hymns of all times. Cindy and I have had the pleasure of singing it at our wedding and at the birth of our children. And it is taken from the words in Lamentations chapter 2 or chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Great is thy faithfulness. God is a faithful God. He makes a covenant with the children of Israel. He makes a covenant with his people. And when we are unfaithful, we fly in the face of the character of our God. And you are his. Have we not one Father? Did he not create us? Are we not made in the image of God? We bear some semblance of his faithfulness. And so when you see the snapshot of your life and your commitment toward others in relationship, what do you see of the faithfulness of God? And then you begin to understand why God gets riled up. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the areas relationally, probably the most prominent relationship, that being of marriage, is the place where that faithfulness ought to be on display. But that's being eroded. Now, hear me out. Many of you have experienced divorce in one way or another. You were victims of it. You were partakers in it. Whatever the case might be, you need to understand that we have a gracious God who does forgive. And we need to come to him and understand that we have a gracious God who heals. We have a gracious God who understands. And we have a God who doesn't care for, hates, the text says, divorce. And the reason that he does is because in his very character, he is faithful. In all of his relationships, he is faithful. He does what he says. He's committed. And as I look at our culture today, it occurs to me that if the enemy is successful, since the enemy is successful in eroding away the basic building block of our culture today, that being the relationship of husband and wife, the family will erode and all of the commitments will begin to erode and be destroyed in our culture as we know it today. If you don't believe that, you need to just look at the paper. See, if my kids don't learn faithfulness at the feet of mom and dad, they won't learn it anywhere. And if you and I don't understand that God is faithful, then we have no grounds for being faithful in our relationships in this world. And so the real issue is not divorce. The real issue is the heart character of faithfulness or not. And that's what God repeats. And it occurs in this text that a couple of things have happened that have proven their broken faith, their lack of faithfulness. And the first is that they began to marry outsiders. Now, don't you for a minute think that God's word is saying that two people of different foreign cultures can't marry. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that unbelievers are not to marry, or believers are not to marry unbelievers. They were marrying. See, they're coming back into Jerusalem in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. They're rebuilding the temple. There are foreigners around them. They have to get established. They don't have their businesses established. And so if we marry a foreigner, then that will help build our business. Makes sense? Not to God it doesn't, because they don't believe in God. They don't love the true God. They're not faithful to the true God. And if you marry them, you are being unfaithful to the living God. Believers are not to marry unbelievers. They constantly and continuously broke faith with God. In this case, by marrying those who didn't love God. And later, by divorcing their wives or husbands for their own desires. Now, understand, yes, Scripture makes allotment in the New Testament for, in two places, for divorce. Makes allotment for. It doesn't make it mandatory. when there's marital infidelity and when the unbelieving spouse leaves. God's norm is that we marry godly people and that we stay married. The first question I told you I wanted to ask is why? Why does God call on us to be faithful? He calls on us to be faithful because He is faithful. He calls on us to be faithful because we are His. He calls on us to be faithful because we are mirrors of Him. And so as we reflect Christ, what does God's faithfulness look like in our relationships? And I would go beyond the marriage relationship. Are you faithful to the people in your family? Are you faithful to your people, to the people that you know? Are you faithful to your fellow workers? Be faithful because God is. Be faithful because you're His. Be faithful because you reflect, you put on display His faithfulness or not. The second question I want to ask is how. This is the application that I want to challenge you with, to be faithful. Marriage is the fundamental building block of our culture. You be faithful. Marry a believer. Okay, can I just turn over here for a second, young people? And let me talk to you just for a minute. And those of you who aren't married, don't you dare marry somebody who doesn't love my Christ. Don't you throw your life away with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And you can fall in love with somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And you'll make a big mistake. Can they come to Christ? Yes, they can. But God says, don't do it. You'll make your life miserable and you will not put on display the faithfulness of God. He's serious about marriage in this context. Do you know why? Because when you hook up with somebody who doesn't know Christ, when you become one with that person in marriage, you break that faithfulness that God has called you to. He said, don't marry an unbeliever. If you do, you're not being faithful. You're not being faithful to what He's called you. Don't give your heart to someone before you know who owns their heart. Don't be afraid to ask somebody way before you get down the road of dating. Don't be afraid to ask them, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know my wife. You know that she's talented. You know that she's pretty. You know that she doesn't have much sense because she married me. But the greatest thing that I've had in my wife of 20-something years is that she knows and loves the living Christ. Application number one, marry a believer. Don't you dare connect your heart to someone whose heart is not connected to Christ. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit passionate about that one because I think God is too. First of all, you be faithful. Marry a believer. Second of all, you be faithful. Stay with your spouse. Well, but Carl, you don't know. You be faithful. Well, what if I did marry an unbeliever, and what do I do with that person? And so I should get out of that one, right? That's not what Scripture says. Read Paul's letters to the Corinthians. And you will discover that you may be the catalyst to bring your children to Christ and even your unbelieving spouse. And so hang in there. But I want to be a little more practical than that. Stay with your spouse. Practice faithfulness. Practice those things that you did when you courted your mate. There does seem to be in our culture this idea that we work hard at building this relationship, and then once we make that relationship one through marriage, we tend to relax and not do the hard things. I'm not talking to all of you. Some of you do the hard things anyway, and I say kudos to you. God is a gracious God. Keep on dating your spouse. Be faithful. Stay with your spouse. Run from pornography. What? What does that have to do with staying with your spouse? It'll destroy your marriage. And it is so readily acceptable in our society and so easy to access in our society today, and nobody will know. It will, like a worm, eat away at your marriage relationship. If you're trapped with that junk, get help. Don't pretend you can handle it. It'll ruin your marriage. Don't put yourself in difficult situations or compromising situations with the opposite sex. Oh, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to be tempted. Not long ago, I had somebody tell me, if you'd have asked me a week ago, I'd have said, I don't have problems with temptation in that area. And in a week's time, had been just hammered with temptations. Just don't put yourself in those positions. And Carl, why do you get so heavy-handed about this stuff? Because God's Word does. God gets upset about this because it strikes at the fundamental nature of His character. He is faithful. And I am His, and therefore I ought to reflect that faithfulness. And if I'm not in the relationships around me, I need to get on my knees and say, God, help me. Forgive me. Attend a marriage enrichment seminar. We're doing fine. Great. Keep on doing fine. Keep on growing. Take advantage of the opportunities that are out there. Cindy and I went to one a year or so ago, and our marriage has been perfect ever since. We went to one in Hilton Head, and it was awesome. We were instructed to write a long love letter to each other. Shamefully, do you know how long it's been since I wrote a letter like that? Life's too busy. Make the time. Put it on your calendar. Schedule it. Manage your money. And don't let it manage you. What does that have to do with staying with your spouse? Ask some marriages that failed because they let money manage them rather than managing money. We've got some great people in this congregation who will help you. We've got some great opportunities with seminars that go on. There's one happening now on Sunday nights. Get serious about staying with your spouse. Date your spouse. Read God's Word together. Pray together. Fred Craddock was given an address to ministers, and he said this: to give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready. Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that He sends us to the bank and He has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here and 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor's kid whose troubles he pours out. Instead of saying, get lost. Go to a committee meeting. Give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't quite so glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love. 25 cents at a time. Oh, it'd be easy to go out in a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over the long haul. Do the 25-cent things in your marriage. Do the 25-cent things in your relationships. Does God pay attention to the details in your life? Then pay attention to the details in the lives of the people around you. One quarter at a time. This particular passage seems to me, maybe it seems a little too simple, but it's very difficult. Because it's the very character of God. God is faithful, and you are His. So, you be faithful. Marry somebody who knows Christ. You be faithful. Stay with your spouse. One of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency was the Sunday morning terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut. Hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept. Some of you may still recall the scenes as the day's survivors worked to dig out their trapped brothers from beneath the rubble. A few days after the tragedy, there was this extraordinary story. Marine Corps Commandant Paul X. Kelly. He visited some of the wounded survivors then in Frankfurt, Germany, in the hospital. Among them was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton. Severely wounded in the incident, Nashton had so many tubes running in and out of his body that a witness said he looked more like a machine than a man, yet he survived. As Kelly neared him, Nashton, struggling to move and racked with pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. He wrote a brief note and he passed it back to the commandant. On the slip of paper were but two words, Semper Fi. That's the Latin motto. It's the motto of the Marine Corps, and it means forever faithful. With those two simple words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who have sacrificed body and limb and life for their country, those who have remained faithful. Can you and I do any less for our God, who has called on us to be faithful? And one of the ways that He's called us to be faithful is in the context of relationship. And one of those relationships, foundational, I would think, to all others, is the relationship that we have with our husband or wife, married believers, and stay married. Pray with me. Father, for the husbands and wives in our midst, I don't doubt that there are some here who still struggle with the guilt of divorce, the pain of it all. Where there has been sin, would you bring repentance, forgiveness, and healing? God, where there are victims of divorce, would you bring healing? Would you bring your tender care? Father, for the marriages of our church, there are some probably struggling as we speak. Would you show your faithfulness? Would you help husbands and wives to be faithful? Father, for those in our body who aren't married currently, for those in particular who will, God, would you protect them from uniting their heart and lives to someone who doesn't know you? And for all of us, God, would you teach us your faithfulness to us in relationship? And would you help us in relationship not to profane your faithfulness, not to profane your name, who you are, but rather to, on display, demonstrate your great faithfulness as we prove faithful one to the other. May we be found faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.